it's okay, but I don't really like doing it. But hey, we got it. Praise the Lord. So what was I saying? Oh, I know. I do like preaching, but you understand, I come here and I preach to empty chairs and to re-record it so we get it on the website. But you know what? I looked at the other day at the website, 5,200 some hits of people who are listening in on these sermons and perusing who we are as San Carlos Community Church. I just think that's amazing. But what I started to say was when Karen and I were coming home, there's 48 boxes of Bibles sitting in Tubac, Arizona to come to San Carlos for the backpack ministry. And I was contemplating that on the way down here as I was driving in that long, treacherous drive. And I was thinking, 48 boxes of Bibles, I forget what I contemplated that out to be, some 2,000 Bibles or something, I forget. And how many lives are those Bibles going to touch? Just like the soccer balls. How many lives are those soccer balls going to touch as they pick it up and they read the Word of God on it and they read the plan of salvation? And, you know, not just one, not just two, but, you know, as a child receives that Bible and takes it home and mom and dad starts to read it to them and to the rest of the family. And, you know, Karen and I have had multiple opportunities this summer to pray with whole Mexican families to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I mean, the one night we were on the Malecon in Guaymas, and we prayed with the mom and dad and the five children, and it was so cute because the mom and dad were seated on the wall of the Malecon, and the five children were leaning over listening to us as we witnessed to them and as we were leading them in the salvation prayer, and it was just such a marvelous thing. And the same thing will happen when they read the Bible, the Word of God. And they'll listen in, and they'll hide the Word in their heart, and the Holy Spirit will bring conviction to them. And they'll turn their lives over to Jesus Christ. And hopefully we pray thousands upon thousands of people will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ through the ministry of the Word of God as it goes forth in the backpack ministry. So, you know, when you come here next Friday morning and start assembling them, you're not just putting stuff in a bag. You're putting the Word of God into people's hearts. Grab the bigger picture of the things that we do for the kingdom of God. And we appreciate your work and help in that. And your prayer in that. You know, without prayer, nothing happens. And by the way, every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, I haven't talked about this for ages, but every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, we open these doors for you to come and pray. Before the service, an hour before the service, you could have the privilege of getting up a little bit earlier and getting your shower done and coming here and just sitting down and just quietly praying and asking God to move and God to bless. And Christy's here and she's playing music in the background, and some people are in the chairs, some people are on their knees praying, and we invite you to get involved in that as well. Take the opportunity to pray. Turn with me this morning to Isaiah chapter 9. We're looking at the second Sunday in Advent of Peace, and we're talking about Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah chapter 9. Verses 2 through 7, I'm going to read it. It's page 573 in the red Bibles in front of you. And some of you may have them right under your legs, even in your chairs. You don't even realize they're down there, but they are some in some of the chairs, so you might look under your legs as well. And we apologize to those who don't have a Bible. New chairs are coming one of these days. And they're going to have the chairs will have holders in them, Lord willing. And we'll get Bibles throughout the whole sanctuary evenly distributed. So I can't wait for that day. Are you ready for the Word of God? This is the prophecy of Isaiah the prophet given by God the Father. Isaiah chapter 9, prophesying the coming of the Messiah, the Savior, who we know to be Jesus Christ. Verse 2. The people who walked in darkness had seen a great light. And those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You've increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it, with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Amen. Excuse me. As we continue this second Sunday in the celebration of Advent, we're reminded that it all begins, it all originates with who? With God himself. For John often reminds us, both in the Gospel of John and in the Epistle of John, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, Jesus, was with God in the beginning, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we know from biblical history that the Word becoming flesh was very indeed the birth of the babe, the Son of God, born in the manger in Bethlehem. It was a time in Israel's life of great, great expectation. Great hope existed in the hearts of the Jewish people as they awaited the arrival of this one who was prophesied about hundreds of years earlier by the prophet Isaiah. The Jewish people awaited the arrival of their king, who they believed would free them from Roman rule, the tyranny of that rule. They were looking for peace. Peace. Little did they know, what they really needed was not outer peace and outer deliverance from Roman rule, but what they really needed was an inner peace. It was the kind of peace that only comes from a cleansed and purified and forgiven heart. It's the peace, Paul talks about, that passes all understanding. Advent is marked by a spirit of peace. It's a time for us to look to God through Christ the Savior for an unending, eternal peace in our hearts. And of the four titles that Isaiah records there that are given to us in that prophecy that we just read, I think the title Prince of Peace speaks to the deepest need of the human heart. Peace was the deepest longing of the Israelite heart. It was the promise of the fulfillment of the coming of the Messiah. Therefore, they sang for that peace. They sighed for that peace. They longed for the coming of the Prince of Peace. Is it any different today? Don't we long for peace in our world? Don't we long for the war in Afghanistan and Iraq to be done with and our soldiers and our fighting people can all come home or are serving overseas? Don't we long for peace in that? Don't we long for peace in Mexico and all this stuff going on in the wars between the drug cartels and the senseless murders of people who are being needlessly butchered? And not only that, but the influence of that drug trade into the countries of America and Canada and the destruction it's bringing on the lives of people who are just inundated, sucked in to drugs. Don't we long for peace from that? We long to experience peace within the borders of our respective countries who are always under this fear of terrorism, of being attacked. Is your plane going to blow up when you get on it? Is a car bomb going to explode one day in one of these cities again? Is there going to be another blowing up of the Twin Towers? Don't we long for peace? Don't we long that we want our children and our grandchildren to be protected from the assault of the world on them in drugs and pornography and sex and all the things that the world is trying to make them believe that they need when it's destroying their souls? You see, what was true in Isaiah's time is equally relevant in our generation today. Could anything be more welcome in this hour of unrest and conflict and bloodshed than what the coming of the Prince of Peace would bring to us? And you know what the truth is? The truth is that there will be no peace personally for any one of us until Jesus Christ is welcomed and enthroned in our hearts as Savior of our lives. Peace only comes to us when Christ enters into our hearts by our total and complete surrendering trust to his redeeming sacrifice for our sins. When Jesus is enthroned in your life as Lord and Savior, and you trust in nothing but him and what he's done for you in his death, burial, and resurrection, then, friend, you will have peace in your life. If you could say anything about Jesus, I think you could say this. And I don't know why I didn't put it on the PowerPoint, but I didn't. Jesus is the author of peace. You should write that on your outline. Jesus is the author of peace. And his name shall be called, Isaiah recorded, and his name shall be called Prince of Peace. Now understand that the Hebrew word for prince has the idea of leader, of ruler, of captain. Prince, leader, ruler, captain. And when it's translated, when that's translated through the New Testament Greek language, it gives the idea of author or pioneer. That's why I've said Jesus Christ is the author of peace. He's the pioneer of peace. When we talk about Jesus Christ being born into this world, it's obvious that he came as someone with the highest esteem. He came as a prince. That's why he's called that. He came as a ruler leader. He came authoring something. He authored peace that we've never witnessed before. Jesus came in order to make peace. He came preaching the way of peace. He came to give peace. How did we get there? Okay, there we go. Did I do that? Oh, okay. That's fine. So let's look a little closer at Jesus this morning. And let me share with you three things that I think Jesus Christ accomplished as he came as the Prince, the author of peace. Number one is this. Jesus brought peace at his birth. He brought peace. B-R-O-U-G-H-T. Because I'm going to be talking a little later about bought. But this is brought. He brought peace at his birth. The angels announced to the shepherds that night of his birth out in the field, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he's pleased." Luke 2:14. This was God's declaration to the shepherds concerning all who would believe and receive his blessed son. There was not a more favorable time in all of history for God to send his son, the Christ child, into the world. The world needed the peace that Jesus would bring, that he brought at that moment of his birth. That's why the Apostle Paul would write in Galatians 4:4, I put it on the PowerPoint, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Galatians 4:4-5. Did you get that opening phrase? When the fullness of time had come, Paul recorded, world conditions were ripe for God's supreme act of bringing the one who would exchange his life for our lives, so that you and I can have peace with God. I liken it to this illustration. We're living in the world and the day and the chaos of divorce. Husbands are divorcing wives, wives are divorcing husbands, and oftentimes families are left in the ruins of all of that, and the children are going, what is this all about? So oftentimes, dad, unfortunately, not only divorces his wife, but he divorces the kids, and he leaves completely, never to return again. And oftentimes, I read the story a while back of a young boy to whom that happened, where his father divorced his wife and left and never came back. And the young boy had a continual picture of his dad with him at all the time. And day after day, year after year, he would look at that picture of his dad. And finally, one day, he said, you know, I wish that my dad would step out of that picture and be real. Christmas Advent means that in a day when sin seemed to rule the world, when man had almost forgotten God, God stepped out of that picture of heaven, and he literally stepped into the world in the form of his Son Jesus. And as he did that, the angels announced it, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he's pleased. You see, as the author of peace, Jesus brought peace to this world at his birth. Here's the second thing that he did. He not only brought peace, but he taught peace with his life. He taught peace with his life. John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said this. He could look. He was looking into the faces of men and women and children just like you and just like me. And he said to them, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. In John 14, verse 27, he would teach this. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You see, the thing that I believe attracted people to Jesus was not only his words of peace, but it was his way of peace as well. In his life, they could see his composure. They could see his peace. They could see his tranquility. They could see his calmness even in the midst of storms, which was completely different from the look that the religious leaders had on their faces, because he had peace. He was and is the author of peace. People witnessed Jesus silencing storms, calming the rough seas. People witnessed him exorcising demons out of people's lives and healing diseases and speaking peace to those who were beaten down by sin and pain and suffering. They could not only see his peace, but people, person after person, were experiencing that peace as he was ministering to them. One day, a woman came to Jesus who seeking help because she had suffered such a long, long time with a physical ailment for so many years. It left her in the most hopeless state of despair. She was at the end of her rope emotionally and physically. She'd spent all her money that she had looking to doctors to try and help her situation, and no one could help her. But by faith, By faith, she reached out to Jesus, believing that peace would come to her life, and it did through Jesus Christ, the author of peace. Again and again, Jesus' message to that woman that day and to all those who came to him by faith is the same message for you and I today. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. You see, when you reach out to faith in Jesus, when you reach out to the author of peace, you'll be given the peace of God to live your life right now in this chaotic mess of a world that we're in. You can live in peace, eternal peace, with the author of peace, Jesus Christ. Even in the midst of the most severe turmoil and trials and situations that are going on in this world. Jesus brought peace at his birth, and Jesus taught peace with the way he lived his life. Here's the final one this morning as we come to communion. Jesus bought peace with his death. Bought, B-O-U-G-H-T. Jesus bought peace by his death. Colossians 1, 19 to 20. Paul wrote, "For in him, Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." What does that mean? It's such a great verse, a statement that Paul has written there about Jesus Christ and the fullness of God dwelling in him. By the way, when someone wants to come along in a cultic person and tell you that Jesus really isn't the Son of God, here's the verse that says he is absolutely the full Son of God. Colossians 1, 19 and 20. In him, all the fullness of God dwells. And there's no discussion about it. That's the truth. But what does it mean? It means that Jesus Christ paid the price in order for our relationship to be right with God. Right now, without Jesus, it's not right. It's broken. We're separated from God. While we were alienated from a holy God, Jesus established a holy, honorable, unbreakable peace by his birth, his life, and his death. On the cross, and through the resurrection from the grave, he defeated the enemy which prevented peace. By his powerful work of atoning sacrifice, he's the propitiation for our sin. He took our place and satisfied the wrath of God that's poured out against all ungodliness. He exchanged his life for yours. Jesus made peace available to everyone who would receive it and desire it. And as we come to celebrate and remember Christ in communion today, let me ask you the question. I have to ask it. Have you entered into the peace that Jesus Christ has offered you? Have you trusted in him and nothing else but his work on the cross, paying for your sin, dying in your place, rising again on the third day from the grave, where he sits now at the right hand of the Father? Have you accepted what he has done for you, for your eternal salvation, and for your eternal peace in your life? He bought your peace by his death. Have you accepted that? Have you accepted that? Have you trusted fully and completely in Jesus Christ and nothing else for your salvation? You see, God's word tells us that when we trust fully in Christ alone, when we trust in him alone, we'll be given the peace that passes all understanding. And I know one thing. I needed that. And I think you do too if you haven't received it. At the age of 17, when my life was falling apart and things were chaos and chaotic and I was feeling like life was worthless and frustrated, and I was moved by something inside of me that beckoned me to reach out to Jesus Christ. And when I did so, just like Jan's grandson did so recently, and the other Manuel did so recently, when that happens, I found peace internally that I couldn't find externally no matter where I looked. You can search the world over and look for peace, and you'll never find it. But you can look at the cross of Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection, and you will know peace internally like nothing this world can possibly offer you. You see, I understand today that when that happened to me back when I was 17, that was the work of the Holy Spirit bringing conviction to my heart. I was being moved by the Spirit of God to not look externally anymore, but to look to God and let him fix what was wrong inside of me internally. That's what God wants to do in your life as well. He wants to fix us internally because it's what's internal that's broken. Why do we do the things that we shouldn't do? Why do we do things wrongly? Why do we say bad things? Why do we take the Lord's name in vain? Why do we lie, cheat, steal, commit adultery? Why do we need to take drugs? Why do we need to participate in illicit sex? Why do we need to get drunk and fall into drunken orgies? Because there's a lack of peace in our lives. And God came through Jesus Christ to buy peace so that we could have it with his death on the cross. We have an open invitation to come to Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. And he invites you and I to come. And the way to Jehovah Shalom is through his son Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. You see, the world busts their butts trying to find peace. They look for it under rocks. They climb mountains. They cross oceans to find peace. They dig holes in the earth to find peace. They tear things apart in order to find peace. But Jesus said, I'm the way of peace. I am the one who can offer peace to you. And I'm the only way that you're going to find peace for your soul. Stop searching the world over. And run to Jesus Christ. Because he's the author of peace for your life. And he'll do for you what nothing else in this world can do for you. And you won't find it anywhere else. You can try all kinds of other religions. You can get involved in all kinds of cults. You can read all kinds of things about the sun and the moon and the stars and what the Indians worshipped, and you can worship Mother Earth, but you're never going to find true peace until you come to the author of peace. His name is Jesus. Listen, Jesus made peace available to you by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. He bought peace by his death. And as we come to communion this morning, I would ask you to reflect on your life for a few moments and answer some questions if you can. Number one, do you have a deep, deep inner tranquility of peace in your soul? No matter what's going on in the world, is there a deep, deep tranquility inside of you that nothing can rob that from you? It's undisturbed. Because it's there. Do you possess that? You see, Paul says, as we come to the communion table, let a man or woman examine himself so that he doesn't partake in an unworthy manner. We can't possibly celebrate Advent, much less celebrate communion, without answering this question. Do we have the peace of God that passes all understanding in my heart? Do I possess that? Or, number two, do you find in the midst of the chaos of this life an inner peace? I mean, this life is chaotic. It's out of control. I read the Drudge Report almost every day, and I walk away just quivering for what's going on in this world, shaking my head at it. But you know what? In the midst of the chaos of the world, we can have inner peace. We can have inner tranquility. If you were asked, what would you say brings true peace to one's life? If someone, you met someone on the street today and they said, hey, Joe, tell me, hey, Sally, tell me, what really brings, where can I find true peace? What would you answer them? What would you tell them? And I didn't put this one up because it only came to me this morning. Have you shared your peace with others lately? I mean, if you say you possess it, you have this deep, deep tranquility, and even in the midst of the worst of the chaos of life, you have that inner peace. Have you shared it with anybody lately? Have you given them some hope for peace in their life and pointed them to the cross, to Jesus Christ, the one who brought peace at his birth, taught peace with his life, and bought peace with his death on the cross? Have you shared that lately with anyone? I mean, if you got such a wonderful peace, don't be keeping it to yourself. Share it. Let other people in on the knowledge and the understanding that there is peace available to them as well. Would you bow with me in prayer? Servers, elders, servers, would you come to the front, please? As before we take communion, let's just bow and let's examine our hearts and let's answer these questions. I mean, really, do you have that inner tranquility? If not, Jesus is inviting you right now, come unto me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You're going to have peace for your soul. You can pray right now, right where you're seated. With your head bowed and your heart just talking to God, you can say, Lord Jesus, be peace in my life right now for me. Forgive me, merciful God. Thank you for bringing peace to my life on the cross for me. You can pray that. And when you pray that by faith, the peace that passeth all understanding will come in and it'll guard your heart and mind in the power of Christ Jesus, who bought your peace for you. You can know inner tranquility even in the midst of chaos. And I encourage you today to trust Christ alone for your eternal salvation. Throw off all that other stuff. Get rid of the yoke of this world, the bondage that's trying to bind you up. And just come to Jesus Christ. And for those of us who've done that, just take some time to talk to the Lord and examine your heart. Is there things you need to let go of? Is there some truth you need to take hold of? Ask the Holy Spirit to show you. God, today we not only celebrate the coming of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we're reminded that Advent always also looks forward to the second coming, when he's going to return again. And Lord, we can't wait for that. We would pray, Lord, fervently, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Rescue us from the chaos of this world. But until then, God, use us here for your purposes, for your divine glory. And Lord, we lay down the things that we need to lay down before you in an offer of asking for forgiveness. And we thank you for the mercy that comes to us from your throne of grace. God, thank you for grace today. Grace to save us from eternal condemnation. Grace to renew us. Grace to carry us when we're too weak to walk ourselves in this life. Grace to be redeemed and to live redeemed lives in this unredeemed world. Grace to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with those around us so that they too may have peace. Thank you for grace this morning, Lord. We praise you for that, Lord Jesus. Father, as we come to the communion table to remember the Lord and Savior, what he's done for us in the bread and the cup, we pray that you would bless us. We pray you would bless our remembrance of what you've done for us, our author of peace. We bless you for what the bread and the cup represent in the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus given on our behalf. We thank you that the Word was made flesh for us, and that in his flesh, he atoned, sacrificed for our sin, so that we might have peace. God, we bless you for loving us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to love you in return, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.